C-3. White House, Washington, D.C. For the first time since the Kerguelen bolide of 7 days earlier, President Slater stood in front of the nation's press to address growing concerns and anger over the absence of a decisive GSC response to recent events. She had been pressed for comment on countless GSC-related issues throughout the past year, opting to keep out of disputes over everything from the precise funding formula to the occasionally aggressive actions of the organization's security corps whenever she reasonably could. Other national leaders had respected the spirit of the New York Agreement by maintaining the same detachment, with the notable recent exception of the provocative words delivered via the British Prime Minister's widely detested proxy, Jack Neal. By and large, Chairman Godfrey had kept things in check from his operational base in the heart of Buenos Aires, but in the face of his greatest challenge yet, the ball had well and truly been dropped. And at a time when GSC buildings in some regions of the world were being defended with water cannons and rubber bullets, dignified silence in deference to a handshake agreement was no longer a responsible course of action. "My fellow Americans," Slater began, looking and sounding far stronger than she had during the disclosure announcement, which remained the defining moment of her presidency, despite an economically successful and socially cohesive year in the interim. "I do not need to remind anyone that we live in a post-disclosure world. I do not need to remind anyone that I sat here just a year ago, joined by many of the same journalists who are here again today, and that I delivered to this great nation the difficult news that we are not alone. The news was difficult not primarily because of its intrinsic content, but rather primarily because of the circumstances surrounding it, because of the secrecy surrounding the initial discovery in Lake Toplitz, and because of the outright obstructiveness and unforgivable duplicity of a certain Richard Walker. I am here today to address the great deal of speculation and conjecture which has engulfed our country and our planet over the last few days, much of it whipped up by irresponsible media reporting about the nature and meaning of recently observed celestial events. I have personally seen a thorough internal GSC report on Tuesday's unexpected satellite reentry, and what I can reveal today is that this report has satisfactorily addressed our concerns regarding the national security implications of that particular incident. As for yesterday's extraordinary fireball in California, I have been informed that, as visually spectacular as it was, this kind of incident isn't as spectacularly uncommon as many of us think. But given what we now know about our place in this universe, what I will not stand here and do is pretend that the timing of these events, particularly when considered alongside the location of the Kerguelen bolide, is something that we can dismiss out of hand as a mere curiosity of random chance. Although the attendant reporters were already paying attention to Slater's words, this comment caused more than a few ears to prick up and more than a few surprised glances to be exchanged. It occurs to me that the anti-GSC protests in which many upstanding citizens have participated have been driven by two compounding factors, anger and fear. Anger at a perceived lack of action in Buenos Aires is perfectly understandable. Perfectly understandable. What frustrates me on a personal level is that this understandable anger would not be manifesting itself if the GSC's public-facing communications were fit for purpose. I know that Chairman Godfrey is overseeing meaningful research and development into defensive projects as well as exploratory ones, but the culture of secrecy which pervades at the GSC ensures that members of the public, again quite understandably, tend to confuse a lack of updates for a lack of activity. I do not consider the anger that the GSC has faced to be misdirected or misplaced. I consider it to be the fault of poor communication. I consider it to be avoidable and, more positively, I consider it to be highly remediable. Without wishing to diminish the broadly held feelings which I have repeatedly stressed that I consider quite understandable, the ease with which the problem of anti-GSC sentiment can be solved means that I am not overly concerned by the recent outpouring of public anger. I will say more on the GSC in a moment, but first I want to touch on something which does concern me. Fear. If we are not careful, and if we are not proactive, fear can consume all. Each and every one of us will recall the difficult weeks and months which followed our initial analysis of the first two plaques, and which came to a head following the failed launch of DS-1. None of us need to be reminded of the violence and chaos which blighted some regions when understandable but incorrect conclusions were drawn from the engravings on those plaques, and none of us need to be reminded of how greatly that violence was exacerbated when the media pushed a narrative that our last hope of defending our planet had died with DS-1. What I believe many of us do need to be reminded of is how quickly the discovery and analysis of the third plaque quashed everything. When the context provided by that plaque eased so many fears in the blink of an eye, it became clear that all we ever had to fear truly was fear itself. And if the peace that has followed the discovery of the third plaque in Salzburg has shown us anything, it has shown us that we have nothing to fear from any further messages we may discover or indeed receive from our extraterrestrial counterparts. Once again, this comment excited several reporters. No one called out any questions. Of late, Slater had been commanding a lot more respect from the press than she used to, but she couldn't miss the change in their expressions as eyebrows rose all around the room. "For a year," she went on, "we have known that we are not alone in the universe. We have known this in an abstract way, with no direct contact or real-time observation. But given recent events, beginning with a powerful bolide at a location so improbable and apposite as Kerguelen, and continuing with these similar incidents so soon afterwards, we cannot fully rule out the notion that we may be on the verge of a real-time observation sooner than many of us expected. For a year we have known in an abstract sense that we are not alone. And what I wish to stress today is that there is no reason for fear as we reflect on the possibility that one day soon we may also know it in a more immediate, more physical sense. In the meantime," Slater continued, raising her pitch slightly and picking up the pace, "we should all afford the GSC the time it needs to analyze these recent events. Where I differ from Chairman Godfrey is in my view that we should give a reasonably fair hearing to any private groups with the competence and finances to assist in productive space-related endeavors which can and will benefit humanity as a whole. Cooperation, rather than conflict, is the order of the day. Today and every day, and I sincerely hope that such cooperation will prevail." A few hushed murmurs greeted these wholly unexpected comments, which could only be taken as a highly public attempt by President Slater to pressurize Chairman Godfrey into reconsidering his policy of freezing out Timo Fiori's well-funded and highly ambitious plans for Fiori Frontieri. Some had believed that Slater might rebuke Godfrey's leadership more generally, or even announce a once-unthinkable U.S. withdrawal from his crisis-stricken GSC. None had believed that Slater might half-heartedly support Godfrey with one breath before pushing him towards an embarrassing Timo-related climb-down with the next. But leaving all of that aside, I want to close with an important reminder that regardless of what we ultimately find out about the possibility of a pattern behind recent events, and regardless of what we find out about the specific causes of each individual incident, the crucial thing to remember is that not a single person has been physically injured. The gathered journalists had watched and listened to Slater enough times to recognize the shift in tone which suggested that she had reached the end of her speech. But each continued to pay rapt attention in anticipation as to the nature of her closing remark. Slater paused for effect and gave a very slight smile of confident reassurance before delivering her final line. "Ladies and gentlemen, if this is a precursor to contact, then contact is nothing to be feared."